Mother's Day. So if you're here and that's a shocker to you, Canadian Tire has some good stuff on your way home. Please don't shop at the gas station on your way home. That's just a hot tip from Bob. Mother's Day. So let me tell you the challenge this is for a pastor. All of you have a story, right? And your story's awesome. And I've heard lots of your stories, and some of them are inspiring and uplifting stories, and some of them are heartbreaking stories. Some of them are stories where your life experiences have just been really varied and really different. And so we come to these days, and we live in a society that is just seem to be questioning everything, yeah? You know, is there such a thing as a role? You know, mother, father, is it just kind of a title, a term? What really could you expect or couldn't you expect? Did God really design this thing? And if he did, why is my experience so weird? We view truth, it would seem, through the lens of our experiences. And so if you had the Leave It to Beaver upbringing and your experiences were very traditional and normal, you would say, oh, of course, this is the truth. But if that wasn't your experience, you would question if things are true or untrue. And so it's become something where we define truth largely by how we experience and view life, and the challenge for the believer throughout generations and generations has been to let God define truth through his word. So here's what I'd like to do this morning. I'm going to talk for a few minutes about why we give honor, what the Bible has to say about that, and then I want to talk about reality, living in a broken world, and then I want to talk about how the gospel intersects with all of that. Sound cool? And so sit back, relax, take some notes, get ready to run me up the flagpole at your community group as you talk about what this all meant. But more than anything, if I could just, I'm going to pray for you, and here's what I'm going to ask, is that if you're here today and God needs to touch an area of your life, you just have that posture where you welcome him to meet with you, to touch you, to remind you of things. And so I just want to pray for you as we get started. Let me pray. Spirit of God, I'm so excited with my brothers and sisters to set aside time. We've come and we've already been encouraged in meeting our friends and in fellowship and in having a coffee. We've already had our thoughts turned towards you and singing some truths about you and reorienting our perspective and our lives. And we're going to peer into your word. And I know that everybody comes in with different feelings today and different backgrounds and different stories. And so I just ask God that you would bind up the broken, that you would heal the hurting, that you would begin a process of restoration and redemption in the lives of some. And that, Lord, today we would leave having met with the living God with new hope and new courage in a world that looks exactly the same as when we came in, with maybe some sun. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in Scripture, we have this clear call of God that we're supposed to give honor, okay? And I'm going to walk you through that. There's a clear design in Scripture that maybe some of you know about and some of you don't. Some of you are going, Bob, this is Sunday School 101. I'm like, yeah, partly. And partly, these are truths that we forget. And partly, there's people just exploring who God is here, and they need to know this. In Genesis 1 and 2, the Bible says that God intentionally created us as human beings in the likeness and an image of God, and that he created us with two specific genders, male and female. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't live in a messed up world where we question lots of stuff, but the design in the intention in the original was we were created male and female. God went ahead to say it's not good for man to be alone, and if you don't believe that, just leave a guy in a house by himself for the weekend, come back and have a look, and go, he pretty much knew his creation. This is not good. When we're bored, we destroy things, or we just don't see the obvious. I don't know what's wrong with us. But he said, this is not going to work. I need something better. And he made a helpmate, and he created woman. And the story is there. And he designed the two to become one, that you would function as a unit, that you would, that he designed marriage as a gift for people. Now, if you're single and you're here, that don't worry about that. In fact, in Scripture, Paul says in the New Testament that singleness is, it allows you to be free to serve God even in a deeper way. And it's not, that's not what this whole sermon's about, and you can email me and we'll talk about it. But what I want you to know, what I want you to come away with, is it says this in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And thus the family unit is created, and it's meant to be an environment and a teaching place for children. That God granted to husbands and wives the ability to have kids, and in that environment for them to build into the lives of the kids. Get it? Role and design, intentionality of God. You can go to Proverbs 31. It talks about the godly woman. Proverbs 1, 7 to 9. It talks about the family and its function in Deuteronomy 6. Listen to this. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. There's this clear design of God for individuality, for male and female, for marriage, for family, and for home. And you got to know that when he finished creation and he sat back, he looked and he said, it's good. And so the creator of all things, the God and Father of our faith, of everything, said, this is how I, in my design, intended it to function. He goes on to say, over and over in Scripture, and we'll pick on the big two of the passages that are really clear, that you're to give honor to these roles. Honor your father and your mother. So it starts in Exodus 20, and it goes further back than that. But Jesus, or the children of Israel, the people set apart through whom God would provide a Savior, he's saying, this is how I want you to function. And he says, gives them 10 kind of really big things to guide and guard their relationship with him. And one of them in Exodus 20:12 says this, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And people say, well, that's Old Testament, Bob. That's a long ways back. But if you jump ahead to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, it says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, some of you that might be visiting or new wonder why I sit down. Partly it's just because I'm restless and I like walking from side to side. But if I go away from my notes and I sit down, I call it a Bobism. Don't build your theology on this, but this is what I think. And so children, you see what the first line says? Enough said. Just wanted to reinforce that this morning. It's my little Mother's Day gift to you moms. Yeah, I just like to be helpful. This is interesting. There's something about how God made us and the family and that we're to honor these roles. And that there's actually a blessing attached to you being faithful in honoring. I've searched the whole Bible, and I can't find where it says, if they prove themselves worthy of all of your expectations, if they meet a certain set of criteria for you. But it does say, to the best of your ability, as you love Jesus and you serve him and you live in a way he designed you to live, that honoring your father and mother is part of the design. So my first point is really simple. It's this. There was an intentional design in a creator. He created us male and female in his image. He gave us to one another as a gift. He created marriage and family and this environment for you to raise your kids. And it was all good. And he even said, this is really important, there's a blessing attached to you as children, and all of you have been children and are children. And you understand what I'm saying? There's a blessing to you being honoring in what you do. Does that give a new significance to today? Just a little bit? All right. So just so you know, we're not doing Mother's Day because Hallmark somehow made it a great day. And we don't do Mother's Day, Father's Day, and times of remembering and celebrations and markers and milepoints simply to merchandise stuff or sell stuff or make it about things. We do it because this is a great thing that God intended that we stop to do. Fair enough? All right, second, it's time to get honest. So my wife has a little problem. She's in the nursery today. I can talk about her, but my kids will rat me out. She has a problem around Christmas. She likes those stupid movies, those Hallmark sappy Christmas movies. I'll admit we make fun of them and we're a little sarcastic, but the truth is, life isn't like that, is it? Today, there's a whole bunch of people who aren't in service somewhere because the idea of honoring mom is super painful. Or there's some that aren't in service because they wanted so desperately to be a mom. It just hurts too much to go and to see everybody celebrating and it's all happy. And it's like you're viewing the Hallmark card and you got left out. Way back when God created things, he gave us this ability to choose. And in Genesis 3, something super interesting happened. Satan came along and he said, I want to destroy what God's meant for his glory and for himself. And he tempts Eve. And he says, you can use your choice, your freedom of will, to take what God has asked you not to take. He just doesn't want you to have this experience. He just doesn't want you to know. And she took it, and Adam, like a big dumb dog, just, oh, okay, I'll take some too. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. All right, I'll eat that. Ooh, food. Yeah. Now some of you are just going to think about food the whole rest of the time. It's hilarious. Takes of the apple, and sin comes into this world, and disobedience, and the Bible tells us that our ability to have this relationship that God created us to have with him was broken. It uses terms like dead inside and dead in our sin. It means that we were created to have the living God as a part of us in relationship. And sin hurt that ability. In fact, it made it impossible because he's holy and we're not. And the whole story of the Bible is about God's loving work at redemption, at paying something, at buying you back, at paying for your sin. And it's got this scary thing in Romans where it says the wages of the cost of that broken relationship is death or eternal separation from God. When the fall came into this world, it affected all kinds of things. In fact, there was specific judgment, right? It says like you're going to have pain in childbirth and work's going to be hard. But part of it was we just are living in a broken world until God fixes that and makes it right. And we deal with this problem that we're selfish individuals and that life doesn't meet the ideal. And so you have this original creation that was good and right, and we still have the ideal, but most of our experience is that ideal wasn't lived up to, and yet we're not honest about it. We try and celebrate things that reflect the ideal without being honest that we're kind of in a jacked up world and that sin affects us all and that brokenness is around us. I mean, I just sat down and said, what are the ways I see that affecting us today? The first and probably the biggest one is people that are just so horribly disappointed in parents and in marriage. You get more broken homes than ever before, And you might be looking out and looking at me and going, well, that's me, Bob. I'm either from that or I'm in the middle of that. I'm trying to parent through that. I'm trying to parent in a really difficult situation. And I go, yeah. And it's really hard. And one of the things I see lots in people is they say, well, I'm told that there's motherhood and fatherhood and you're supposed to pass these things on and all this is supposed to happen. But that hasn't been my experience. And I'm disappointed. And so in order to protect myself, I'm not going to believe in this role as a gift from God or something that brings blessing. Another way I see it all the time around me is people come in and they just feel like a failure as a parent. Ever done that? Ever come to a Father's Day or a Mother's Day or somebody say, oh, I really... And all you can think are the voices in your head is like, man, I'm blowing it here and here and here. If you only knew how frustrated I get or how angry I get or how... You fill in the blank. I mean, we live in a broken world and there's the reality of infertility. Of the desire to share your life with kids and the inability to have them. And we have awesome stories of adoption and of this and of that. But the pain and the struggle of that is just completely real. It's part of the brokenness and the fallenness of creation. Some other ways I see it, that with the broken models that are out there and the expectations we have that we should have a fairy tale ending or a Disney-esque experience, this becomes somewhat of a hard day. So if we're going to get honest, we're going to say, yep, God created something pretty cool. Yep, God had a design. Yep, He had a way it was supposed to work and He even gave us some instructions on it. And yep, we're all part of this fallen experience. And the truth is, it's all kind of jacked up. And if we're going to get honest, we're going to start with a principle that we find in Scripture. And that's the principle of gratitude or celebration. So let me just explain this personal conviction to you. And it'll set up where we're going from here. When the Bible says that we can go to God with anything, in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request be made known to God. There's this little caveat in there. It says with thanksgiving. It says something happens when with gratitude, when we put God in the right place, when we see what is good, when we start with what we can be thankful for. And as I talk about this, some of you are sitting here going, I don't relate. My mom was fantastic. My dad was fantastic. My model, what I've had, amazing. And I want you to celebrate that today. I don't want you to hide that. I don't want you to be like, oh, I kind of was the Hallmark card. Good. Awesome. If you had parents where your legacy is that, man, you should shout it from the rooftops. You should honor them, but not in a way that makes everybody else feel like they have to have your experience, but in a way that's a worship response to God, right? Because that's a gift of God in your life, so let's worship Him and thank Him for it. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on the positive. We're going to take a minute. Just sit there. Sit back. You can close your eyes, but I am going to wake you up again. Think about your mom. It's Mother's Day, right? Think about something that makes you smile. Think about a memory that's good, a quality that she's given you or some kind of a quirk that she's passed on. And we have them, believe me, that makes you kind of warm inside. What does it look like to be someone who practices gratitude, finds ways to honor that legacy, to honor that and pass it on, to say thank you first to God? What does it look like for God, you to allow God to renew your perspective of even their effort or the things that went well? Because honest reflections allow for a real appreciation and allow you first and foremost to honor someone in your heart before God. And from there, you need to go out and find ways to encourage and build up. And not just on one day, but today is the day we're reminding you of it, right? And today is the day we're going to do that. But I want you to start with gratitude. Something really interesting happens when we do that. We seem to appreciate what has been differently. We seem to move off of all of the things that disappointed us or that are negative, and we seem to shift towards what has been good. So let's start there, and you can wake back up. No, sorry. Someone still had their eyes closed. No. And let's do this. As we say, hey, God is clear that he designed this, and he's clear that to honor our parents has a blessing attached to it, and it's something he expects us as followers to do, and we realize we lived in a jacked up world, and it's okay that all of our expectations or some of our scars or some of our pain are there, and we start with what we can celebrate. My suggestion today is that we go to God first and then go to one another for encouraging. Sound good? So let's take all of that truth and let's go to God. The first thing I want you to know about God and his people is he's all about redeeming. I had this experience recently when I looked at this word redeeming. I wanted to redeem a coupon and I didn't read the fine print. Anybody been there? And anybody lost their mind on some unsuspecting server because you thought you were getting this and you weren't? Let me be clear about something that God does for us. He takes the brokenness and the jacked upness of our lives. He takes us right where we're at with the horrible decisions or the good decisions that we've made and the consequences we drag. And he begins from there to redeem the situation for his glory. He starts by paying your price for sin and by totally redeeming you, but he's redemptive as a God in your life and in your circumstance and in your situation. Listen to what the psalmist David says. He knows this guy jacked it up, okay? He knows some things. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Go to God first with whatever it is you're facing disappointment-wise, especially when it comes to these roles that were supposed to work a certain way. And start by saying, I offer my situation to your redeeming touch. I want you to take me as I am and take me where wholeness exists. Romans 8:28 says this, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Lots of people have really misquoted this and misused this. Can I just, from my heart, this is Bob. Okay, I think that no matter what your situation and decisions have been, no matter what scars you wear, your story can become about God. It can become God's story. That God can redeem your situation where you give glory to God if you let him. And so my invitation this morning is to take all of that stuff and start by bringing it to God for his redeeming purposes. I heard recently a great line, and I'm just stealing it. I unapologetically say I'm gonna steal this and use it because I think it sums up what many of a little bit of a misconception. God is not about you. God is for you. God was about his creation, and he took glory in his creation. God is about his glory. God is about he created mankind and he created them in his image, and he's about redeeming that situation. He's about setting right what's wrong. He's about taking back what Satan meant to steal and destroy because it's his, and he invites you to be a part of that. Man, the invitation is out there for you to respond and come along, but God is not about you. God is about restoring and redeeming. He's for you. He wants you to be a part of it. And so this is really, really important to start with a posture that says, whatever my story, whatever has happened, whatever my experiences and choices to date, I want to start with you, God, knowing that you're a God who redeems, to I want to put my situation in your hands and allow you to be redemptive, that my story comes about your glory as we go forward. Secondly, I want you to come to God because he's able to grant forgiveness. This is so important that we've got to forgive others and we've got to forgive ourselves, and it starts with understanding what God has forgiven us. 1 John 1:8-9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if your posture coming in is, yeah, others better, stop there. You have stuff that needed to be forgiven. And it says, if you confess our sins, you would own up, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is able to grant forgiveness, and then he's able to grant and empower us the ability to forgive what's happened and forgive others. So, put your story open to redemption. Come to God, because that's where we find forgiveness. That's where we find the model to lay the hurt down and engage in a healthy way in life forward. I want you to come to God because he's able to grant healing, emotional, physical, relational healing. In Luke 9:11, what's happening is the disciples have come back from serving. They've heard John the Baptist is dead. He sees they're tired. They're withdrawing. Crowds follow. And look at how Jesus responds to the crowds here. He says, when the crowds learned it, they followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. And listen to what it says. He cured those who had need of healing. Many of you say, because of my circumstance in life, or my mom, or my dad, or my blah, 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 this is where I'm at. I'm broken. And some of you have learned to live in your woundedness and brokenness, and you don't want healing. I'm saying, first, focus on the good things. Be grateful. Second, ask God to make your story a story of redemption for his glory. Third, I want you to learn forgiveness. What happened to you needs to be let go. What you've done to others, you need to receive forgiveness for. God has forgiven you. You now stand without guilt and shame, because what you're doing is cutting off all those bad motivators. Fourth, healing. Okay? Don't continue to limp through life. Let's get you back to health and strength. And where you find that is in Jesus. You find that in God. He is our healer. He is our physician. Now, he may use gifted people. It's going to be a process that you have to go through. Sometimes he instantly heals you from emotional trauma. Sometimes he just brings those people into your life that nudge you back, nudge you back, nudge you back. But you need to go to God for the healing that needs to happen in your life. It says he cured those who had need of healing. And finally, wisdom. If you're going to operate in this jacked up, broken world, and you're going to try and, to the best of your ability, moms and dads, fulfill that role, and you're going to have that job of doing that in the family of God and in your personal family, you're going to need wisdom like crazy. And James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now hold on, don't miss this. It doesn't say when you've got enough brownie points, or what was I trying to use recently? Air miles? if you got enough of these and you pay the taxes and you pay a fee. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, hey, that's us. We're in a broken, jacked up world, right? And we're trying to do this role in the family of God. And it says, let him ask of God, who gives generously beyond what you ask, to all without reproach. And just a note, the final thing that you're going to need as you do this is strength. I don't have time to just fully unpack what it means to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just listen to what Hebrews 13:20-21 says. As he prays for them, he says, now may the God of peace, you're forgiven, you're reconciled, those motivators are cut off, right? You've forgiven others, you're at this inner shalom and health with God and with others. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look, that he's going to equip you, that you can do what it is he's asking you to do, that's so pleasing to God, that fills the intent of what he created us to be. So my challenge this morning so far, man, I'm like way behind. Look at me go. I haven't preached for a couple weeks, so you're stuck. God designed us. He told us honoring's important. Today's the day we talk about it. We realize we live in a fallen, messed up place, and that our experiences aren't exactly what he intended, and we can't create our own reality and truth around that. We have to go back to him. And so what do we do with that messed upness that we face? Well, we start with gratitude. Let's posture ourselves to see what's positive. And we go from there straight to God. And when we go to God, we need him to do some things. We need to start by being open to him, being redemptive with our story, open to him showing us forgiveness and us participating and offering that to others, open to healing, open to wisdom, receiving from him the strength to do it. And so let me give you a challenge as you go forward, especially to you moms. I want to challenge you to go through this process and to see your role as a source of blessing. A source of blessing to your children that are biological, and a source of blessing as you fulfill the role in the family of God, with all that experience your love. Because Proverbs says the children will rise up and call you blessed. It says that you will be so honored and respected as you love and steward people in a mothering role. Secondly, I want to challenge you to do the one another's. Husbands, kids, other moms, people, listen to this. It tells us to encourage, to equip, to build up, to spur on, to forgive. It just has all these one another's. Kira unpacked them 2 weeks ago, and the list is awesome. But the challenge I have for you is, here's how you will honor and support the moms going forward. Do the one another's with them. And thirdly, moms, could I just beg of you to do this? To leave here with a new commitment to pass on a love for Scripture and for God's way. I find this in 2 Timothy, as it talks about his mom and his grandma making a huge impact on him. And Paul says, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Allow your children to see you in the Word of God. Speak well of it, speak often of it, and hold it high. Let's ask the big question. So what? I have to finish. I had some other really good stuff. You're missing it. Oh well. God's design and instruction is quite clear. That he created us, and he created these roles, and that to honor these roles is important. Secondly, I want you to be honest. I don't want you to pretend that you're in a Hallmark movie. I don't want you to pretend that wounds haven't happened or disappointments haven't happened. And for some of you, your mom's passed and gone, and the legacy's fading, and one of your guilt struggles is, how do I keep honoring that legacy? And I want you to be honest about how a broken world has marked you, how death has affected you, and then I want you to take all that honesty, and I don't want you to just bundle it up in a cool story. I want you to take it to the living and the almighty God who wants to touch it in your life. I want your story to be about God's glory. I want your story to be one of healing and wholeness, and I want your story to be one about forgiveness and empowerment and strength from this day forward. And so going forward, I want to honor you today. I'm going to stand. We're going to pray for you. And then I want to encourage you to lay before God those things he's touching in your life and urging you to do as we sing and respond And I want to beg you. You can write a new legacy. You can start from here. You can leave here already feeling differently about some of these things. And it'll change how God's glory is seen and how He uses you, if you'll do it. Would you stand? I'm going to pray for you. Father, I start with thanksgiving. Thank you that you created us with this kind of design. And I start with giving thanks for my mom. Oh God, you allowed me to be born in a home where my mom loved you and knew you. Where her parents loved you and knew you. And you allowed me to experience someone who really cared about my character and my walk with you. You allowed her to shape me and show me what it meant to serve. And around the room, my friends are looking at different things. And even when their mom struggled or there was selfishness or there was brokenness or you chose to take a mom early, they put people in their life. And we start with gratitude. Oh God, thank you for what you have done. Secondly, Father, we come to you and we ask that you reveal in us the wounds that we carry and the brokenness from a fallen world. Because I know your desire is to redeem that, to heal that, to change that. And I pray as people would lay those wounds before you or those things before you, and your Spirit's just shown up in their life today, that you would be redemptive in that, that their story would become about your healing and your touch and your glory, not about them. And Lord, if there's moms here today who are really struggling with the feeling that they've blown it, that they don't get another chance, or that it's too late, well, they know your forgiveness and your empowerment and your healing. And Lord, would you begin to restore and renew there? I pray that even today, as we choose to honor moms, you would begin to restore relationships and families. And that, Father, we would begin to set a different pattern and a different legacy and a different hope. And so, Lord, I commend these, my friends, to you. Thank you that we can come in here today. For those that you've entrusted the role of little ones, give them courage and strength and clarity, and give them a deep love for you that their children will just instinctively see and respond to. For those, Father, who long for that and who wait on you, we pray that you would provide for them the opportunity to function in a role you so lovingly created. And for those today who, Lord, you're already preparing them to act as surrogate moms in the family of God, caring for so many of these kids coming from a place where they haven't seen it modeled, I pray that you would grow strong in them the love for others and the sacrifice of self. And so we commend this day to you. Hear our praises. We sing it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.